Chapter 2, 1940. The air in the club is hazy with a blue tinge of cigarette smoke, and Steve shifts back in his uncomfortable chair and stares at the half-drunk beer on the table in front of him. He's 18. He can have a beer if he wants. It's not really helping his mood. He doesn't know why he let Bucky talk him into this. Misplaced optimism, he guesses. Oh, he knows exactly where Bucky wanted to go. Bucky's had his eye on this girl, Claire, for weeks now, but she'd only go out with him if someone would go with her friend Eileen and make a double date out of it. And of course, Steve was available. Steve's always available. Come on, Bucky had said. If you're never going to ask Gail Richards out, at least go out with someone. You'll never get anywhere unless you try. Well, he's trying and he's still not getting anywhere. Bucky and Claire are cutting a rug on the dance floor, and Eileen abandoned Steve for a group of her friends whom she had seen the minute the four of them walked in. She's barely looked back. Once she did look back, and he saw her laughing. He can only imagine what she thinks of him. It's not like he can dance anyway. No one's going to want a fella with a limp like this. No one's going to want a fella with a limp like his. Why is he even here? Bucky is a real good dancer, he thinks, enviously, as he watches him spin Claire. Bucky's hands tangle with Claire's gloved fingers. He sighs. Pardon me for interrupting, a man says from behind him, but you look like you could use some company. The stranger comes around to the side of the table where Steve can see him. He's a little older than Steve. He's dark-haired, well-dressed, smiling, clutching his own drink in his hand. Waiting for Steve's permission, he supposes. Steve glances around the room. All the other tables are occupied, and he supposes this guy needs somewhere to sit. You're not the company I came with, Steve says as he sips his beer. But I'll take it. The stranger smiles, wide and oddly nervous, as he settles down opposite Steve at the little table. You look like you're having a hell of a night. Not anything I'm not used to, Steve admits, and the man gives him a sympathetic glance. My friend, he nods in Bucky's direction, set me up on a double date and he's out there having the time of his life and my date's not giving me the time of day. Dames, huh? The man says knowingly. Yeah, Steve agrees. I've never had much luck with women. The man smiles again. Something about the smile is sharper now. Me neither. It's a ridiculous statement. Handsome fella like him, he could have any woman he wanted, Steve bets. But it's not like Steve understands women. It could be true. Too bad about your date, though, he adds. You'd think she'd give a chance to a nice guy like you. Anyone would. He licks his lips, glances around, meets Steve's eyes again. It feels like this guy's buttering him up, but he's not sure what for. Is he trying to sell him something? At least somebody thinks he's nice, even if it isn't his date. Steve grins back, half confused, half pleased. At least somebody wants to be friendly. He could use a friend. People see the limp and they don't really look any farther, Steve says, drunk enough to give voice to the thought. He gestures at his cane where it rests against the edge of the table. It's like they think I'm not really a man, not good enough, not where they could have someone else, someone better. The man glances at the cane once like it barely matters, and his gaze returns to Steve's face intent. That's a real shame, he says. His voice is pitched low. Steve has to strain to hear him. The right person, though. Maybe you just haven't noticed them yet. Maybe there's someone out there who wouldn't care about a little thing like that, huh? Maybe there's someone who thinks you're handsome, who'd like you no matter what. Maybe there's someone out there who wants to make you happy. It's what Steve always wanted. It's why he still dreams of a soul bond. That perfect connection with no lies or deceit. Somebody who will see all that he is, who will know everything he is, who will look past his body and love him for his soul. Steve takes another sip of his beer. Yeah, well, he says, and he smiles, half a smile as he wipes off his mouth. You know anyone like that? Maybe you could introduce me, huh? The man leans in and smiles. His eyes are alight with excitement, his words barely above a whisper. I already am. The sentence doesn't make sense at first, and then Steve's aware of the pressure of a hand on his leg just above his knee. The stranger's fingers are sliding up to curve over his thigh, wide enough to bracket Steve's narrow leg with his entire huge hand. The stranger is still smiling. His fingertips brush Steve's inner thigh. Jesus Christ, he's a fairy, he thinks. He thinks he's one too. Steve can feel all the blood drain from his face. An icy fist of fear clenches around his heart. He can't breathe. He has to get out of here. He can't move. The man's hand still hasn't moved, and Steve's thigh where he's touching him is tingling, cold and hot at the same time. He's too aware of his body, feeling everything too much, the same way he feels pain except it doesn't hurt. The smile falls from the stranger's face and he's staring at Steve, wide-eyed, stricken. Oh no, the man says under his breath, and he looks about as terrified as Steve feels, not that Steve can spare any time for that. Oh God, please, mister, I made a mistake, please, I'm so... Steve stands up, pushing the table away. Beer spills everywhere. He has to get out of here. Steve's already fumbling for his cane and tripping, limping out to the club as fast as he can go. Of course, film, that's not very fast. He glances back once. He doesn't think the man is following. Good. He ducks into the alley behind the club, shivering, and he leans against the wall. No one comes after him. The guy's about Steve's height, but with the right weight for it, so he probably has 100 pounds on him easy. He could make him do whatever he wanted. He's bigger and stronger and heavier, and it would be like the bullies, only worse. Steve would be powerless to resist. Would he have brought him out here, back to this alley, pushed him to his knees, made Steve suck him off? Cocksucker, Steve's mind whispers. Fairy, that's what you'd be. An awful yawning terror fills him and he's shaking. What did the stranger see in him that made him think Steve would ever want that? Why would he think Steve was like him? He was wrong, that was all. The guy was drunk, he made a mistake. He said so himself. He saw something that wasn't there. It's not true, it can't be. Steve isn't like that. Bucky finds him not too long after that. Steve recognizes a shape of him in the dim glow of the streetlights. He's alone, which is good. Steve really wouldn't have wanted to explain this to his date. Either of their dates. Hey, you alright? Bucky comes to his side, but, thank God, doesn't touch him. Steve nods tightly. Fine. What went down in there? Bucky asks. I missed all the excitement, I guess. Saw you knocking over a table. Some jerk giving you a hard time? Yeah, Steve says, and he's grateful for the lie. Wasn't really expecting it, I suppose, and then he was right there, and well, I had to... Oh, jeez, Bucky says. People these days, they got no decency. Yeah, that's one word for it. Bucky's silent for a long while, and Steve hopes that Bucky's buying everything he says. Look, Bucky says. We won't come here again, okay? I'm sorry I suggested it. I thought it was a good place. They said it was supposed to be fun here, a little while, but if the guys here are gonna get in your face for being who you are, well then it ain't worth it to me. An exquisitely awful combination of warmth and misery lodges in Steve's chest. Thanks, Buck. Steve's mouth twists. That's real kind of you. A smile flickers across Bucky's face and he claps Steve on the shoulder. It's nothing, you're my friend. And I'm your best friend, ain't I? Yeah, you are, Steve sighs. His only friend, really. What happened to the other guy? Him? Bucky shrugs. Who cares? He's gone. Steve wonders if he's going to another club, if he's going to find someone else who will do what he wants. Why is he even thinking about this guy? His heart is pounding. Steve needs to leave, to escape. He needs to be somewhere better than this. Somewhere this won't happen. The army has rules. They don't let the fairies in. There would be order, right and wrong. He'd be serving his country. He'd always be doing the right thing. He wouldn't have to wonder. He wouldn't have to doubt. He'd know. Of course, the army's not going to want him. But Steve's always been a dreamer. You can't find him. The way is dim. You feel like giving up. You ache for her. Rest assured, it's never too late for love. You say you're tired. How I hate to hear you use that word every time it hurts.
your pain, and I know your sorrow. You could try to let the past slip away, live for today. Don't stop.